It's good to see everyone out. We have visitors in our audience. We just want to know that you are our honored guest. And if you have any questions about the things you see or things you don't see, we'd love to study God's Word with you this evening. I'm thankful for the elders for allowing me this opportunity to stand before you tonight and bring a lesson from God's Word. Our objective tonight, as it is every time we assemble, is to worship God in spirit and in truth in accordance with the standards that He set in His Word. So go ahead and get your Bibles out if you have them with you. Turn them over to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 14 is where we will begin this evening. Tonight we're going to look at the account of Peter when he walked on the water and tried to come to Jesus. Peter's walk on the water, he came to Jesus he tried to come to Jesus in a physical sense. But tonight, there's five lessons that we can learn from this text that will help us come to know Jesus on the way we know Him in a spiritual sense. So with that being said, let's start reading in book Matthew. Matthew 14, beginning verse 22. It says, "Immediately Jesus made His disciples get into the boat and go before Him to the other side. While He sent the multitude away, and when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up to the mountain to pray by himself to pray. Now, when evening came, He was alone there, but the boat now is in the middle of the sea, tossed by waves, and the wind was contrary. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to him, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a ghost.' They cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid.' And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to walk to you on the water.' So he said, 'Come.' And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, saying, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, caught him, and said to him, 'Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?' And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those who were with him were in the boat, worshipped him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" So we can see Peter's walk. The first thing that we see in order to walk, to come to Jesus, is we have to have faith. Because in verse 31 said, "Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said, 'You of little faith, why did you doubt?'" So the question is, what is faith? That's a very easy, simple question. What is it? Because clearly Peter had little, and Jesus wants us to have a lot. So what is it? Webster defines faith as a belief or a trust, a belief and a trust, and a loyalty to God. But better yet, the Apostle Paul in Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen." The faith, we need to have the faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So the question becomes, how? How do we get it? In Romans 10:17 says, "Faith comes by hearing the Word of God." Turn with me. Faith isn't just a belief, it also requires action. Turn with me to the book of James. James chapter 2. James James chapter 2, verse 14 says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked, destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' but you do not give them things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." Not only that, but we read in Galatians 2:20, we have to live by faith. Just a couple pages over in James 1, chapter 1, verse 3, says, "Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." The New American Standard says endurance. So we see that our faith grows. In Mark 4, Jesus is talking about the mustard seed and how he said in verse 30 of Mark chapter 4, and he said, "To what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or if the parable shall picture it, it's like a mustard seed, which is sown in the ground, is smaller than all the other seeds on the earth. But when it's sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs, shooting out large branches so the birds of the air may nest underneath its shade." So we see that faith is the beginning of it, but it also grows with us. Let's continue reading back in our text in Matthew 14. Beginning in verse 27. "But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid.' And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' And he said, 'Come.' And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus." We find out in other texts that Peter was a fisherman and that his home body of water was the Sea of Galilee. So now he's on a boat with all the apostles. And just to give the background, this is not just a calm day out on the water. In John's account, it said the sea began to be stirred up because a strong wind was blowing. In Mark's account, it says that they were straining with the oars. They were going against the current. This is not the ideal scenario. But when Peter left the boat to go to Jesus, he was committed to go. He didn't let the weather, as we just talked about, it's not the ideal weather, not the ideal situation. But he did not let the weather slow him down. Because he had decided that he wanted to come see Jesus. And we can learn from Jesus, the great, our Savior, on how, when we come to Jesus, how he wants us to come to him. Turn with me to the book of Luke 9. Luke 9, verse 57. In these verses we're about to read, we're going to see what Jesus wants from us, how he wants us. If we're going to come to him, it says how to come to him. And verse 57 says, "Now it happened, as they journeyed on the road, that someone said to him, 'Lord, I will follow you wherever you go.' And Jesus said to him, 'For the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.' Then another one said, 'Follow me.' But he said, 'Lord, let me first go bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And yet another one also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid farewell who are in my house. But Jesus said to him, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. So we see that Peter was not going to make excuses. When he decided to ask Jesus to be a part of this miracle, that he was going to go. He was going in for it. He was all in. And another point that we can learn from this passage is that it's safe to say that Peter was comfortable in the boat. Because let's think about it. If we're in the middle of a sea, they're in a storm, the winds are blowing, the current's going, we're going against the current, it's taking everything out of us. A boat, to me, would be the ideal thing. I would not want to be out there with my little swimmies on and be out there. You don't want to do that. He's comfortable in the boat. However, when Jesus said, come, Peter had the courage to leave the comfort of the boat and step out on the water to come see Jesus. When we finally have the courage to come to Jesus, we have to leave our comfort zone. We have to have the courage to address sin. Sin was introduced in the world in Genesis chapter 3 when Adam and Eve ate of the fruit. And Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But luckily for us, God had a plan for us. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That is one thing to have the courage to address our own sin, but we also, now that we are Christians, we have the obligation to bring other souls to Christ. In Matthew 5:14, Jesus says that we are the light of the world. And in the Great Commission, Jesus says in Matthew 28:19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's not going to be easy. We're going to have to step out of our comfort zone to tell our family and our friends that there's a judgment day coming and they need to be prepared for that. It's not going to be, easy. Jesus never said it was going to be easy. He said it was going to be hard. But that cannot let us stop us. It did not stop Peter from having the courage to go out and see him. Let's go back to our text in Matthew 14. Matthew 14, verse 29 said, and he said, come. And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. So the third thing, since we started with faith and we had the courage to get out of the boat, our next thing is we have to keep our eyes on Jesus. When Peter first stepped out of the boat, his eyes were locked on Jesus. While Peter was walking, something happened. In verse 30 says, when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink and cried out, saying, Lord, save me. Let's think about this. It's clearly he got distracted. He took his eyes off Jesus and saw this, but let's use this analogy. Think about a racehorse for a minute. Think about American Pharoah, one of the greatest racehorses ever to live. Before the horse, American Pharoah, can even get out of the stable, his trainer puts blinders on him. Why? The purpose of it is to keep him looking ahead, not worrying about what's going on to the right, what's going on to the left. Us as Christians, we need to have our blinders on because our finish line is heaven. And if we start looking around what's going on to the left and to our right and let the world sink in on us, we're going to get distracted. But like you said in verse 30, but seeing the wind, he became frightened and was beginning to sink. Peter took some steps on the water before he got distracted. And I completely understand. You're watching Christ, and you're watching Christ walk towards you on the water, which is, it's hard to imagine as is. But even crazier, if you're in Peter's boat shoes, you're walking on the water with him. You're walking to him. So I understand completely that he could get caught up, because I know I'd have been caught up. I would have been looking down at the water and making sure I was walking. You know, this is, but we have to be careful that we don't get distracted when we're on our Christian walk. Peter would later go on to say in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, "Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lust, which wages war against the soul." After we become a Christian, as soon as we come out of the water, we have a bullseye on our back. Satan has us in his target, in his sights, and he wants to distract us. He wants to destroy us. He wants us back. And he uses the world as one of the biggest tools to distract us. If it's not school, it's work, if it's not this or that, all these things can get us off course with our walk with Jesus. Turn with me to the book of Matthew, or we're already in Matthew, chapter 6. Matthew 6 and verse 25. "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body or what it will put on. Is your life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor they reap, nor gather into the barns, yet the heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Are you worrying? Which of you worry can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider of the lilies of the field and how they grow. They neither toil nor they spin. Yet I say to you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like the one like these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, he will not much more clothe you, O you little faith. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we drink, or what shall we eat, or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. For the Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient is for the day its own trouble." So we see that when Peter got distracted, his cost was him sinking. And if we're not careful with our walk with Jesus, we can get distracted and we can sink too. However, the story wasn't over. Let's continue reading in Matthew 14. Matthew 14, verse 30 said, When he saw the winds that were boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And when they arose, when those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. So when Peter began to sink, he went directly to Jesus. as we've covered before, Peter was an experienced fisherman. And we read later on in John 21:7 that Peter could swim. But Peter realized when he was sinking that he couldn't do it on his own. This must be a very humbling experience for Peter to find out that he couldn't do this on his own. And he knew that Jesus was the only one that could help him. In Romans 5:8, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So when we start to sink back into the world, Christ is there for us too. So up until this point, we've learned from Peter's walk on the water that we have to have faith. We have to have the courage to get out of the boat. We have to keep our eyes on Jesus, because if not, we can sink too. We will sink too. But the last and final point is that Jesus can save us too. In Matthew 14:30, but when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink and cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "You have little faith. Why did you doubt?" So the humbleness that we just talked about with Peter resulted in Peter asking Jesus to save him. Jesus didn't take his eyes off Peter, but Peter took his eyes off Jesus. And if we're not careful, we can do the same thing. We can turn our backs on Jesus, but yet Jesus won't turn his back away from us. So when we lose focus and take our eyes off Jesus and start sinking back into the world, there is only one thing we can do. Turn with me to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 2. In verse 2, Jesus is talking to the church at Ephesus. He says, "I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not. You have found them liars. And you have preserved and have patience and have labored for my name's sake. But I have not and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you. You have left your first love. Remember, therefore, where you were fallen, repent, and do the works, and do the first works, or else I will come quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent." So the first thing Jesus tells these people is he wants them to repent. Get out your songbooks get out your songbooks, please. If you're here tonight and you have taken your eyes off Jesus, Jesus would love for you to, like he did for one at Ephesus, to repent. Or maybe you're not a Christian. And my question is, why not? This is the only guaranteed opportunity that you have right now to make your life right with God. Are you going to be like Peter that took advantage of the situation when Jesus said, "Come"? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? In Mark 16, verse 16, it says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he who disbelieves shall be condemned." If there's anything that we can do to help you, come now as we stand and as we sing.